Hi, this is Karin Zissis of ASCOA Online. As we look around the world at how countries have handled the pandemic, tales of missteps abound. But there are also stories of those who have managed it well. Uruguay falls into the latter category. As of early July, the country had roughly 1,000 confirmed cases. In fact, Uruguayans are the only Latin Americans currently allowed to travel to the European Union. How did Montevideo pull it off? Dr. Giovanni Escalante, the Pan American Health Organization's representative in Uruguay, tells my colleague Luisa Horowitz ways that the Southern Cone country got it right.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en Foco.
América Latina en Foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas, on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
Dr. Escalante, thank you for joining us on Latin America in Focus today.
Hello, how are you? A great pleasure to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you as well. So, Dr. Valente, Latin America became the epicenter for the novel coronavirus on June 1st. And when considering different countries' responses to the crisis, Uruguay stands out as an example of one whose measures have been successful in containing a massive spread of COVID-19. So it's been credited with acting fast to mitigate the outbreak, and President Luis Lacalle Pou announced a health emergency on March 13th, which is when the first cases were confirmed. However, the government never enforced a complete lockdown as in other countries. Why not?
Yes, because all the measures were applied in accordance with the international health regulations. However, President Lacalle Pou took in consideration what is the civic response of the population. There is a traditional, well-informed, well-educated population that is aware of its responsibilities and also their rights. That's why President Lacalle Pou decided to establish an important public health measure by saying that it's a voluntary measure. However, the society responded in a way of obligatory.
This comes down to a civil duty that Uruguayans felt as opposed to in many other countries, no? Why was this so? What is there about the relationship between Uruguayan government and its people where people responded this way?
You know, from the previous government, there were also platforms of transparent information and also reliable sources of information that the population will be obviously well informed. And that's why the population, it's not only aware of what is happening regarding the diverse diseases, but also they are so conscious about their civil rights. I think that's a very interesting, important feature that we should take into account in this country.
Definitely. And do you think this says something about the lockdown measure itself as not necessarily being a solution? Or is it something so particular to Uruguay that it can't be expanded that way?
As a matter of fact, we should say that the lockdown was really effective. But this was not the only measure that the Uruguayan government took in place. They have developed a comprehensive preventive measures and also all the measures to tackle the disease in terms of the response of its healthcare system. That means it would be the tracking of potential cases in intensified testing, lab testing by PCR technology. That means also an active epidemiological surveillance system in order to map out how actually was spreading the disease, potential active cases, in order to control them. And also isolation. It was a voluntary isolation scheme also, and the patient would be monitoring by a mobile clinic So the medical doctors and the team of healthcare workers were visiting, and also an app by a mobile telephone.
So let's move on to comparing a bit to other countries who have also been successful in controlling the spread of contagion, like neighbor Paraguay, for example, which is another small country, but has a very different background and economic situation to Uruguay. And, you know, looking beyond the region, countries like New Zealand. What does this say about small countries' capacities against a virus compared to big ones with denser populations like next door neighbors, Brazil and Argentina?
Yes. Well, Paraguay and Uruguay are very similar. They are small countries. And both countries also took similar measures. To sum up, they applied the international health regulation consistently on a timely manner. They activated their essential health functions, which are very, very important in times of emergencies.
And what also, do you mean by essential health functions?
For example, the epidemiological surveillance, the gathering of evidence and information, training and providing healthcare workers in all the areas, activating the emergency network response system, the continuity of the essential health programs, for example, vaccination programs. In the case of Uruguay and Paraguay, they have continued with their immunization programs, and also they have initiated as early as possible the vaccination campaign against influenza, because they are very conscious that vaccinating the high-risk population against influenza will prevent the simultaneity of the appearance not only COVID-19, but also influenza. And this would be a major burden in overcharging the critical care units. I would add that they also provided transparent and reliable information to their population, and they assured that their health systems will be prepared to provide healthcare when necessary. On the other hand, perhaps the difference between Uruguay and Paraguay is that Uruguay has actually 3.4 million inhabitants, and almost half of the population lives scattered in the northern departments with low density ratios. Additionally, social and economic determinants are quite good in Uruguay, with low poverty, unemployment, and analphabetism ratios. And the most remarkable feature, I would say, is that the Uruguayan integrated health system has got a sustained investment during almost 15 years. Also, the system is based on a primary healthcare strategy. In terms of access and coverage, almost 100% of the Uruguayans receive a comprehensive package of health services by means of a network of public and private for non-profit organizations. Additionally, there is a national social protection system for vulnerable groups. So there is a sort of safety network or social net to avoid the catastrophic consequences of the pandemic.
Right, I see. So it's been a long time coming that Uruguay has positioned itself to be able to deal with a health crisis of this sort.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So we speak in hindsight very often, and we know that hindsight is 2020. And looking back, many countries can say that in March, when cases starting arriving in all countries of Latin America, what they could have done faster, what they could have done better. Are there any lessons Latin American countries can learn from Uruguay at this point moving forward, specifically countries that are doing worse and struggling more to contain the virus?
Yes, we would say that it's very important, the social determination of health, because you know that there are a lot of gaps in Latin America, social and economic gaps, and the countries have got a very complex scenario. That's why in some countries there were better capacities than others, depending of how well were treated the social determination of health. You know, poverty, unemployment, the lackness of enough social networks could produce negative effects on health. This is a very important lesson, I think. Another very important lesson is how well prepared is the healthcare systems. If a healthcare system is well financed, well prepared with a good team of healthcare workers, it would be a better response. And also, we discovered that the smart and integrated response mechanisms are critical to address these public health emergencies. This means a national agreed plan with the best collaboration schemes, with clear decisions based on rationality and evidence. I think this is a very key feature of the Uruguayan response, because the president himself decided to be the chief of command. It was a unified response command, where the executive and also the legislative and also the opposition parties collaborated in the process. So this is a national agreed plan with the best collaboration scheme. I think this is a very important aspect also to take into account for future events. And also the way of adapting existing capacities and reacting quickly according to new information. That means that the traditional cycle of research and policy decision has been shortened. I say real-time alternatives based on scientific evidence for real-time policy decisions. Recent experience also suggests that fostering partnerships between civil society organizations with government is one of the pillars for successful response.
Certainly. And do these partnerships also include private sector partnerships with the government? Because in Uruguay, there's been a big national campaign for people to wear face masks and this idea of voluntary quarantine. Can you talk a little bit about that, how the private sector has influenced this national response?
Yes, the private sector complied. And also, I should underscore that the healthcare providers are also public and private for non-profit. Say there is a corporate social responsibility to address health and the response to COVID-19 with a solidarity scheme. And the complementation of capacities between the public and the private. I think this is a very important message also, that it is possible to complement capacities between the public and the private sector towards shaping an appropriate response. Additionally, we discovered that real-time monitoring of communications, public awareness programs, and the intensive use of appropriate technologies produced a positive behavioral change into population. Saying the idea is to avoid these distorting messages, which is part of the so-called infodemics, or fake news, by means of a very well-trusted information platform, which was very useful to shape preventive behaviors in citizens. So the population has got a reliable source, a unique source of information, and also innovation in terms of auto-surveillance system. By saying every citizen has got the possibility to inform to the government that could be a potential case surrounding a particular area. Or self-reporting, which is, I think, quite important in terms of avoiding a spread of cases.
And this takes me to the next point that I wanted to raise, where the border region of Uruguay, specifically the city of Rivera, on the border with Brazil has been a focal point for protection, correct? Because it's in a more vulnerable position, given that it's next to a country that has had an explosive amount of cases. So this sense of social responsibility of people informing the government if there's a potential case, how does that translate into this border region where there's been smaller outbreaks that have been contained more focally?
Yes, that's right. So what is doing the Uruguayan government, based on that integrated package, response package that the Uruguayan government has developed, which has produced this positive effect in terms of avoiding the further spread of the disease, is developing specific agreements by means of bilateral cooperation agreements between Argentina and Brazil and Uruguay in terms of exchange of capacities. So this is a very interesting feature because Brazil, in the southern part of the Brazilian border with Uruguay, they have got a good information system. It was a local information system, which is a very interesting one. And on the Uruguayan side, they have got this a strong capacity to track cases, to apply PCR technology, which is actually being produced. The supplies and the lab tests are produced locally. So the idea is to develop a sort of focus area where both governments are arriving to agreement to apply similar measures. And also the government is developing a sort of guidelines and protocols with algorithms in order to demand to the migrants from different countries PCR lab test, which would be negative in order to accept as migrant or visitor to Uruguay. This is for air travel and also by boat and also by car or bus. In that way, it's a sort of filter, applying a well-known technology which will be avert for the spread of new cases.
Mm. And so now we can talk a little bit about travel restrictions since we touched upon it already. Uruguay shut the air, land, and sea borders on March 25th, so you know, quite early on, but many other countries were doing the same. What are your thoughts on the efficacy of restricting travel during a pandemic? Is this something that is an immediate stop, or what are your thoughts on that?
Human beings has the right to move. Also, as a global economy, it would be always a flow of goods, services, and persons. And migration is also a human right, the right to migrate or to travel. However, the key important aspect is how to prevent and control the spread of one particular disease. And it's quite important the border control and to apply all the necessary measures. For instance, measuring temperature, identifying potential cases by lab test and exchanging information from the rosters or the list of passengers that are in one particular vehicle, say a car or boat or flight, no? or airplane. In that way, the idea is to protect the persons, the transmission chain. If we identify as early as possible one potential case and we isolate that particular person and we also respect his or her rights and we avoid all the stigma and discrimination, which is very important, the spread of the disease will be cut. So the basic idea is to apply all the necessary measures, but respecting human rights. and also providing all the healthcare. Because what happens, for example, with migrants who have suffered some problems on their own countries, social problems, or perhaps it's an economic or laboral reasons that that forced them to migrate. So it's quite terrible that that particular person will suffer restrictions on healthcare services. It won't be possible. So we think that the new way to avoid those problems is through solidarity and through the agreements. And I think these experiences of reaching consensus how to fully respond by an integrated way in borders between countries would be the best way to tackle all these potential side effects.
And let's walk towards a conclusion now. So Uruguay has been praised around the world for its mitigation of this health crisis, and it still has a long way to go. We're still not sure when this pandemic is ending, but is there anything the country could have done differently or better that you could mention to us?
Well, we are doing a research, and we are systematizing all the lessons gathered in the country. We could say, as an introduction of what we are discovering, is that there are three pillars for a resilient country response capacity. Firstly, the implementation of the essential public functions, which is a sort of integrated package of public health functions. It's very important. It is not only to put all the emphasis on the healthcare system. It's very important to look at the essential public health functions, because it's, to us, is the expression of the government tangible capacities. Secondly, we are identifying this civic response and well-informed population that they do not need to have, this enforced measure. To us, it was a positive surprise, because when I listened the speech of the president by saying this would be a voluntary scheme, at the beginning was surprised, but then when I started to review the information, for the Uruguayans, this voluntary scheme in real action was an auto-forced scheme, by saying, as a Uruguayan citizen, I am responsible of my health, and I don't want to produce disease, so I am going to lock down by myself. This is, I think, a very important issue that we should explore a little bit more, which is this healthy behavior, a preventive behavior. And also the third very important issue is this integrated, well-financed, equipped and staffed healthcare system able to treat, care, and control emergencies with a continuity of healthcare throughout all the country. Which I think this is a remarkable issue that we are going to explore a little bit more. And also, we are very keen to produce a collaborating scheme between different countries. In fact, we are producing seminars, webinars with different countries in order to exchange those experiences. And finally, what we are doing as organization is gathering all those experiences in terms of, for example, supply chain, logistics, demand consolidation, and purchase for critical supplies and equipment. We are gathering all that intelligence in order to build up a sort of preparation to the future COVID-19 vaccines. And we have got our PAHO revolving fund utilizing a solidarity scheme. We are gathering all the experiences of what has worked well with the revolving fund, because actually we are purchasing all the vaccines for Latin America and the Caribbean, and with a sort of consolidation and negotiation for reasonable prices. And it's very well accepted. The countries are very happy.
It's very, very insightful. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us on Latin American Focus. And I wish you the best of luck in continuing your work in Uruguay and the Pan American Health Organization.
Oh, thank you very much. And I would say that the multilateralism is very important for the countries, because you see, PAHO is not only our secretariat, but it's also all the countries, the Latin American and the Caribbean countries that are part of our organization. Say, PAHO belongs to the countries.
And that's a nice way to put it. Thank you so much and take care.
My pleasure, and all the best for you.
Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This podcast was produced by Luisa Horowitz and Luisa Lemmy. The music in this podcast was recorded at our headquarters in New York City. Check out concerts online at musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Share, give us 5 stars, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.